This is Daily Politics. Here we look into the ins and outs of everything Kenyan politics. We pull no punches and not sugarcoat anything that concerns Kenyans. My name is Roselyn Obala, political editor at NMG, and I'm joined by...
My name is Oliver Madenge, managing editor in charge of audience engagement.
And my name is Patrick Langat, I'm the planning editor.
Welcome, gentlemen. I think we are coming at a time that things are fire in the political scene. And I think we'll start with Raila Odinga's declaration to go to the Africa Union Commission chairmanship position. What do you guys think about it, just coming in 18 months after the general elections?
Well, it didn't come as a surprise. I think what we've seen with Raila Odinga in terms of how he runs his politics, that he knows how to repackage himself after every election.
Yes.
And so given that, he had to do something that would probably ensure that he gains a different status other than just being the opposition leader who leads people to maandamano in Kenya. he can take care of the rest of the continent. And I also think that for William Ruto, it gives an opportunity for him to quell down the noise that has affected his government for the first 1 year.
Yes.
I think there was too much noise. Everyone was focused on what he's not doing.
Yes.
No one is focused on what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's an opportunity for him to ensure that he also re-energizes his Kenya Kwanza brigade and ensures that the opposition is not as strong as it has been.
Yes.
But that is also a weakness. It's also a threat to democracy because now when every other time we have an election and then the opposition joins governments in court.
There's always something like a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, we end up not having a strong opposition, as we saw with Uhuru Kenyatta's second term.
And we've already started seeing those signs of the opposition just weakening after that. So that when Raila now goes full-blown to the AU to campaign in all these African capitals, then we really don't know what happens to Azimio, because they can't. The other principals can't even come together to agree on what is the next thing. What do we keep Azimio? They're already fighting even before this man leaves.
Yeah.
So it's quite a problem.
Mm.
But for Raila, I think it was a natural stepping stone for him to go for this African Union.
Mm.
He's always been larger than Kenya, if I may use that word.
A Pan-Africanist.
He's very passionate about what goes on in Africa. You saw what he was doing as the AU high level representative for infrastructure.
Actually, when you hold there, remember when he left the position, he said he had requested the AU, the current chair, Musa Faki, to take a break. At what point did he realize that he actually needs to get back?
There was actually a big controversy over how he left that AU high level representative job. So I guess things just came together for him, as they always do, as Oliver says. And it will be really interesting to see, first of all, how he campaigns these African capitals where he's known. He must go to all these places.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's going to be a Kenyan government candidate,
then
it will be really interesting the relationship they would have with William Ruto.
Mm-hmm.
We already saw him in a very interesting meeting with Museveni and his cows.
Mm-hmm.
So we are yet to see a lot of those across the country. So it will be a very interesting
Also begs the question.
Yes.
What happens to the opposition?
Yes, yes.
When Raila gets there?
Because it seems like he's the glue.
Yes.
Because
as we know, once he gets the position, he can't actively engage in local
politics.
So what happens? And this his term, if he gets the job, runs from 2025. Mm. 2027, he won't be here for the elections.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't campaign even for his own candidate. So what happens, especially for those candidates who ride on his name?
Mm-hmm. And you see, even in the past, the stabs that he has taken at the presidency, most of his lieutenants used to say this is his last stab, this is his bullet.
Yeah.
And even after the 2022 elections, I think that is where you saw that even there were some members who were bolting out Because for them, they were looking at him as a spent force, that they were not seeing him landing on anything. But you see now, this seat that he's now eyeing has actually rejigged the opposition, because now you can even see the people who are taking a back seat, like Junet Muhammad, Joho, and other people.
Even Gideon Moi.
Even Gideon Moi is surface.
But you know, the problem with Azimio principles is that I think they want to have their cake and eat it. They have been crying to Raila that you retire, hand over power. Now the man says, okay, I don't want this Kenyan thing. Yes. I want to do the African continent.
Yes,
now
yes.
They are all out of the woodwork. No, you need to endorse us first.
Yes,
you need to do.
Yeah.
So they need to make up their minds. What do they want Raila to do? Because
mm-hmm.
if he's going to get this thing, as Oliver says, he would be out of the local politics.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to make up their mind. What do they want him to do, and what do they themselves
want to
be? And you saw that, you know, that also affects Mount Kenya politics,
yes.
Which is, there's a lot of that is happening there right now. But there has been a notion that for the last couple of elections, Mount Kenya has been voting against Raila.
Yes.
So what if Raila is not on the ballot in 2027?
Yes.
A good question to look at.
Actually, it's Raila missing in the 2027 elections, and also the subject of conversation, because he has always a villain in all this.
Yeah.
Where if you want to put smear darts, then brand Raila as the person who has everything, and then brand the other person as a saint.
Mm.
But you find, even as the situation is now, you find that even in Mount Kenya, where he's found resistance, now they are warming up to him.
Yeah.
And if you remember when you were having this conversation before the elections, we were saying that whichever way you look at it, Raila is doomed in a way, because he has to endure himself to Central Kenya and at the same time also retain his base. But by that time, was having challenges because of the handshake. Now we're also talking about a secret handshake. That I think is jostling. If you look at the leadership of Central, in a way, if you look at now the way they are reacting, it seems is when they have seen the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Now we are talking about taxations, we are talking about the expressive regime, yet they said this is our government.
But you see, Mount Kenya politicians sometimes, not just Mount Kenya politicians, but Kenya politicians,
yes,
they are con men.
How but they are a reflection of our society.
Yeah, how do you pass a law in parliament?
Yes.
Pass these taxes.
Yes.
And then come crying like you are not there to pass those taxes.
Yeah.
Why are you crying with the farmers?
You are
the one who passed the law that farmers need to pay.
There is always the ideal and then the expectation. So maybe by then they had converted themselves into voting machines. But now the reality is dawning that yes, we voted. But now what is the implication of what we voted
But
for?
We really need to call them out. They can't. They really can't. You know.
Yes.
And I think if Kenyans are able to remember the environment around when the Finance Act was being passed in June.
Yes.
The conversation by Kenya Kwanza was that this was going to pass. It doesn't matter what. But
yes.
What is more annoying is that a lot of Kenyans went through that public participation and told them problems about several sections of that act.
Exactly.
Remove this, remove the other. There was very good public participation.
Yes.
Actually, the parliamentary committee said about 1,000.
Actually, this was the best
public participation
and they
had.
Told them as much. Don't do this thing. Don't tax farmers this much.
Yeah.
Don't ask them for invoices because their trade is very regular.
How do you ask my father who's only small farm of tea for invoices? Wow.
Now they can even send you directly and say, "You dear Oliver, last month we saw you actually filed your returns. This month we are still waiting.
What's happening?
And you see, that's a problem I think with Kenya Kwanza's administration in terms of economic policies and all these policies that they came with in terms of taxation, is that it's like they never thought through the taxation processes and they need to take a step back and start thinking about it. You see, when you look at the country in terms of how we are doing in terms of inflation and all those other aspects of the economy, it's not like we are doing so badly. But you see, because of the taxation measures that have been put in place, and because the Kenya Kwanza administration has failed in selling hope to Kenyans, is that if I have my 1,000 votes, I don't want to spend it. So what happens is that Roslyn and Langat do not have money
because
I have refused to spend mine.
Yes.
So this money cannot circulate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm thinking if I spend this, probably if I, you know, the way that people have said that they are now starting to track our transactions.
The transactions,
and all those
things. Yeah. You see, the side hustles.
If I spend and the government knows I'm spending too much than I'm giving in taxes.
Yeah.
That's the mentality that people have. And so this government has failed in terms of communicating some of the things that they are
policies,
doing.
The policies, yeah.
And that's the reason why even the Mount Kenya MPs who are now complaining about the taxes that they passed is because they didn't understand what they were passing in the first place.
Yeah.
And so the communication starts, breakdown starts from the top going down, and that's what they need to get, take care of. Otherwise, they will come crying to with us. Fuel goes up, they cry, and they are the ones who are who pass the laws.
But you know, Patrick, somebody might ask that the budget making process is solely a parliamentary process. So, which means we had our legislators in that parliament from the time of the budget policy statement to the time that we had the budget estimates read by the CS. So, you can't tell us that at particular point they were not able to know what was actually before them. Because that is the time you look at, if I'm coming from a place where it's prone to agriculture, then I need to look at the issues that are coming up, the taxations or the allocations that are put for that sector. How am I going to empower my people? But now we are having leaders who almost a year down the line is when they are realizing that actually the law that we passed is not pro our people. So where were they during that time?
I think it's a problem of our legislation. So that yes. We don't understand. First of all, Kenyan people don't understand what parliament should do and what are their functions, what are the things they can do. For example, when the Finance Act goes, how far can the MPs go?
Yeah.
And the truth is that they have a lot of powers to change almost the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Almost the entire,
actually,
so that is
what
the first
comes
problem.
From Treasury is a suggestion.
It's a suggestion. Yes, it is for them to agree or not on or disagree.
Yeah.
But the second problem we have is how government, the executive, then views parliament.
Yes.
So that for Kenya Kwanza, parliament is just an extension of that
the
cabinet that
cabinet,
they have.
Yeah.
So that they will sit in cabinet, they would make policies, and parliament is summoned to State House for a big meeting where they are told, vote like this on this, pass the Finance Act, pass the Affordable Housing Bill, and you have all these issues that now happens later. Because people realize what they said in the public participation was not included, so they go to court.
Yeah.
And that act is quashed because we said these things, you never paid attention
paid
to
attention,
them. Yeah. There are laws that are being passed in this country that courts every day are saying they are unconstitutional, but no one seems to be listening. Because one act is declared unconstitutional on one aspect. The next day you get a bill that is making the exact same mistake. So what are we doing? What are we doing? We really should learn to pin down on these people. The executive should get its acts right so that the bills they are proposing match with the constitution and what the people actually want. But also parliament, it is their responsibility not to pass things that they have not scrutinized, because they have the power to say farmers should not be asked to do these things.
And it's also the duty of Kenyans to question some of these things and actively participate in public participation. You know, I always tell people, when we talk about public participation in terms of the finance bill last year, have been the highest and everything, there are some things that change because of public participation.
Yes,
Some of the things that were to be passed were never passed because of public participation. And so it's important even for Kenyans that we take that as, if you know, for instance, if today there is a law that is affecting the way us guys operate as a media house, I would be the first person to ensure that I write and say, this does not work, this works, this can be enhanced this way.
Yeah.
And that way, we get laws that actually cater for all of us at the end of the day.
And maybe just to talk about the issue of even the affordable housing, the new bill that was brought to the National Assembly after the court poked issues on the past finance law, which was actually just amending the KRA tax law. And you saw in the third reading where actually is the where the law making process happens. And we saw the opposition just walk out of the house. They just staged a walkout and said the speaker is unfair. They did not consider our proposals. But why didn't they stay in the house so that their dissent is on record?
Because we also had some of those who have been very vocal out here making the noise about the housing levy.
Yes.
Were not in parliament.
They were not in parliament. Yes. They were not in so that they are making noise out there on sunroofs and in podiums.
Yes.
But where it matters on the floor of parliament, where it matters in committees, parliamentary committees, where they can make their actually very useful contribution, they are not there to make it.
Yeah, because even when you move to court and you put a case, they are supposed to say that in the third reading where we had actually had suggestions for amendment, either the speaker did not acknowledge them, but still we went ahead to voice our concerns on the floor of the house. Yeah. Even if we didn't have numbers, they always say the majority will have their say, but the majority will have their way, minority will have their say. Now we are seeing that, but we are not seeing it coming out so strongly to the extent that we actually can actually deviate and say that yes, we had people opposing this and this was the stand they took, because outside there they are saying we'll do this. But in parliament, we are not seeing the same. And that's why we are not seeing a replica of what is now happening in central Kenya. And for me, from where I sit, and just what you had said, that we need to call out this legislator, because they can't come and cry foul. Yet when they had that time to actually make a difference, they were there choir masting and saying, this is a position of the government of Kenya Kwanza, this is a bottom-up agenda. And then later on, when you realize it's not the good thing for your people, then you want to look for a blame game. And I think just what you're also saying, as we talk to our people should also be vigilant. We should not wait until when members pass the laws, then we come and say it is hurting us. There are very many few people who are, move to court, activists call about it, but what about the general public? And I think with that now takes us to the issue of Haiti, which I think has also dominated.
hotter topic.
It's very hot. It's very hot. I think it is something
that... You know, the Haiti thing is very interesting.
Yes,
You know, we have not had diplomatic relations with Haiti for years.
For years, yes.
We started last year.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that probably to help people understand is that... what happened last week?
Yeah.
A lot of people, I see also a lot of people saying that the president is ignoring the courts and all those.
Courts, yeah.
The thing is that the court was very clear.
Yes.
The court was clear that you can deploy these guys, but it has to be within a certain structure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just as there has to be an agreement. There has to be a bilateral agreement between the two countries for us to deploy. And so that happened. But the greatest question that I have, even as we commit to take our police there, do we understand the situation? Does our government really understand what is happening in Haiti? People who are taking over airports, people who are releasing people from prison,
who are actually warning a sitting prime minister not to go back.
They are not a joke. Those guys.
Yeah.
Our police have not dealt with anything close to what is happening.
They
in Haiti.
They have dealt with anti-riot. They have been the riots. They have been
only, the only thing they have dealt with are stones from those things. Those guys are armed with the best
to the
best machine guns that are happening there. They are even outgunning the police from Haiti. So the problem I have with this thing is, number one, what Oliver is saying, do we even understand what we are getting into? Yes, there is that international obligation that Kenya and every other country has in helping the next country to ensure peace within its borders and to ensure its security. But do we understand Haiti? Haiti is not Uganda. It's thousands of kilometers away. So that's the biggest problem. We don't understand it. But what is even worse is the people we are sending, the police, are they equipped for it?
Are they trained for it?
Are they trained for it? Are they prepared for it? Because these are gangs that have literally taken over a country. They have a parallel government.
Who
they
actually
have
killed a sitting head of state in his residence,
and they are now abducting ministers and going to all these places. So they are not a joke at all, and we should be talking about them as such. This is a different game altogether.
Yeah, and you see, the one thing that I have seen people comparing this mission with the rest of the other missions that we have had, Sierra Leone, Kosovo, and the rest.
Yeah,
this is actually very different, because you see, and under those UN missions, you are not going for combat.
Yeah.
You are not supposed to even use force.
Yeah.
But here you are going to a situation where, even if you are going to protect government installations,
yes,
these people are coming forcefully and taking prisoners out of
releasing prisoners. Yes.
We really need to think through this thing, and I really hope that they have thought through it, because I think even as we go for that dollar. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for us to ensure that we are doing it for the right reasons.
You know, the question people have been asking, and I think this is something that we owe to Kenyans. First of all, we've even been asking, as a country, have we met the UN requirement of one officer against 450 Kenyans? Then secondly,
people have still been massacred in
people are still being massacred in Rift Valley. Mm-hmm. Look at the bandit situation. And even for that, the question we've been asking, are our officers really equipped to address such issues? Now, if you look at the units that the government has put in place that we are going to go to Haiti, we have border patrol unit, we have anti-stock theft unit, we have GSU. So you look at some of the officers that we are taking, and then you're asking yourself, have they been trained differently within their disciplines, or they're just all going to be taken and then bundled and sent there? Now, they said we are sending 1,000 officers. Out of the 1,000, 100 actually senior officers from vigilance, led by an assistant inspector of police. So you ask yourself that, yes, this is a team we are sending, but do they understand the terrain? Do they understand the language there? Because it's predominantly French. Where are the Francophone countries to take the lead? Because Kenya is the one leading the multinational security support team. So if Kenya is the one leading and it is an Anglophone country, then you ask yourself, okay, fine, we are leading. But do we understand the terrain? It's how many kilometers from Kenya for us to go and save? It's more close to the Americans, who are actually now calling for support. I know Kenya is a signatory to the Rome Statute, and we owe it to actually assist other countries. And just taking us back to the issue of public participation again in Parliament, if you looked at the time that government actually requested Parliament to consider that request for deployment, remember, this was a joint committee sitting of both security committees of the two houses. But have you read the reports? Who even came before that committee to present their memorandum? It was only the Mau Mau veterans who were saying, let us hold a national prayer meeting before we can actually send our teams. Why didn't we not even have the security officers coming to present their position? Why didn't we even have retired soldiers or officers coming to say, this is a position we have?
Or even the police who have taken part in other missions.
Yes, in other missions, just coming to give us as a deep dive of what they have actually experienced. Now, the initial request that came was that we were supposed to go and protect government installations. Now we are actually sending our team for combat. Yet this is a country that can commandeer and even tell their prime minister, don't come, and even block the airport. So are we really, really ready? Or what are we actually looking at? It? Is it the financial support of it? Is it building our name and security prowess in the region? Or why are we really so bent on leading this mission?
We should stay on that question. Why are we going to Haiti?
Yes.
So far, I don't think any government official has explained to Kenyans comprehensively, why are we going to Haiti? No one has ever explained it. You ask any Kenyan now that was there in 2011 when KDF was deployed to Somalia. Everybody understood why we wanted to go to Somalia. Everybody understood. Every Kenyan will tell you they had been abducting everybody and the Al-Shabaab had become a terrible menace and we needed to deploy there so that
and
we
were also having internal attacks in the
so
country.
That we stopped them from. Everybody could see the attacks. But in this Haiti situation, have we been told why? That hasn't happened. I do not think that the 1,000 police officers that are supposed to go there also understand why. I haven't heard anyone that is saying we know why we are doing. So that is a problem because we went to the UN, promised this thing was ratified by the United Nations Security Council, and then we now came and, to
and
Kenya.
We were actually acknowledged. Remember Joe Biden during his
said we have done very well.
Public, yes.
But the, that was probably the second time Kenyans were hearing about this hate deployment. Yes. So that the Kenyan process of that discussion about the deployment happened long after the United Security Council had endorsed it.
Yes.
So by the time Parliament was presenting its report on
the deployment,
giving the okay for the deployment, it was long after that.
And okay the National Security Council had actually discussed it before it came. Gentlemen, I think our time is running out, but just to wind up, I think this was a very good conversation. Let us stick it still on the Haiti situation. Let us look at how the political landscape pans. I think it will be interesting times ahead. And maybe just to close, maybe your closing remarks.
Oh, we've been away for far too long.
I know.
Our initial plan was to have a 1 month break.
Yes.
But it seems the 1 month break almost ended in 2 years. So
yes.
Hopefully we don't, we commit not to disappear like that. We are back.
Yes.
Politics is getting interesting.
Yeah.
We would be breaking them down to you every week.
Mm-hmm.
And we commit to really stick it this time.
Yeah.
So as Langata said, let's talk every week and see how to help Kenyans understand some of these political things that are happening.
Yeah, I think this is where to stay and get all the politics. It's going to be hot. It's going to be punchy. We are not going to spare anybody. We'll say it bluntly as it is, and it will get interesting as we get on. Thank you so much for listening. I hope to join you again.